Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We are recording, and then we are going our next piece of Quran that we need to memorize is the end of Surah Al-Hashr. The end of Surah Al-Hashr, yes.
Okay, let's do remember.
And Hadith.
We're going to memorize all the surahs that we have done so far. Which surah? Can you write the surahs on the board?
Okay. The ones you need to memorize, you need Al-Alaq. Okay, Lina is going to write it. Go ahead. So, we're going to move to the end of Surah Al-Hashr. So, Surah Al-Hashr. You know what is the meaning of the word Al-Hashr? It's tight gathering. Tight gathering. Like if I try to put all the girls here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 girls, 7 girls. If I try to squeeze you into a box, No, I mean, which is less than your combined size. I have to really squeeze you. Tightly, very tightly, right? This is called Al-Hashr. Al-Hashr, which is tight gathering.
Why girls?
There's so many girls and only 2 boys.
Yeah.
You guys take up a lot of
space. I'm so small.
Tight gathering.
Your writing
is getting smaller as you go down. I know. Wait, is that the final?
You're not
ready to
wait,
did we have the final yet? No. Is this the winter one? It's not even going to be the final one. It's going to be the midterm. And we're going to start with Ayah 22. Tight gathering. Ayah 22. Yes, you're supposed to do that during the winter project. During the winter.
Stuff that's on the board to memorize, you guys have basically already memorized. You should go over and make sure that
you don't. This one you need to memorize. Since I already tested Lena and she passed 10 out of 10, I'm not going to test her again. And you girls, I'll test you next time.
And the boys?
Everybody.
We're not like that.
So you need to memorize this ayah. What is the ayah? What does the ayah say? It says, Huwallahu.
What's the surah number?
Surah Al-Hashr?
Yeah.
59?
59.
Wait, are those like 3 ayahs?
Surah 50.
Actually,
never mind. Huwallahu. Huwallahu.
Alladhi.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whoops.
Yeah.
La ilaha illa hu. So let's start with the part Huwa Allahu alladhi la ilaha illahu. This is easy. You know, la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. This is the shahada. Okay, let's see what's the meaning of the word Allah.
Is that the whole ayah?
No.
Allah. The meaning of the word Allah as a word, not as a name. Of course, as a name we know. But the meaning is Huwa alladhi ta'lahuhu al-qulub. Aliha. The word Allah coming from the root Aliha. So the word Allah, the root of the word Allah is Aliha. Is Aliha. So you say, Allah alladhi ta'lahuhu al-qulub. Allah alladhi تألهه القلوب. So you can say Allah الذي تألهه القلوب. This is where the name comes from the word Aliha. Aliha. No, I'm just explaining the word, the meaning of the word Allah.
But the thing underneath,
the Arabic underneath. Yeah, Allah الذي تألهه القلوب, I'm just explaining the meaning. So I'm saying Allah is the one whose the hearts تألهه. Yeah, this is not an ayah. This is just further explanation of the word Allah. So what is the meaning of Aliha? Aliha, the worship kind of love. The worship or adore. Adore and worship. So this is Allah الذي تألهه القلوب. You say Allah is the one whom hearts love and worship. So if you love Allah, then you have actually did the verb aliha. And when you do the verb aliha, it means that you're admitting that Allah is Allah. You know?
Do you have a story that reminds us of this?
Well, no, not really.
Do you have there,
the only thing that I can tell you is that is Allah tests you about this. Like when you're playing a video game and you hear the prayer. So you're being that call for the prayer. You want to demonstrate that Allah is more loved to you than the video game, and then you get up and pray. Now, let me tell you something, by the way. You're smiling because temptations usually makes you feel lazy, right? And then makes the prayer a heavy burden on you, right? And let me tell you, explain this to you clearly. To enjoy the prayer, and for the prayer to be fun, you have to be at a high level of faith, which is not achievable.
How do you get to a high level of faith?
I'm coming. Which is not easily achievable for you guys, for you girls and me. It's not, we're talking about all of us. It's not easily achievable is that your faith is so high that you actually enjoy the prayer. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to love and enjoy the prayer. Enjoy it. Why? Because his faith was so high. The companions used to do the same. Enjoy the prayer. Why? Because they have a high faith. Now, don't blame yourself if you are not enjoying the prayer. All right? Because that requires a lot of cleaning. A lot of cleaning, self-cleaning, to be able to reach to that level. Then your punishment for not being able to reach to that level is that you don't enjoy the prayer. You got it? So Allah is not going to judge you whether you enjoyed the prayer or not, but He's going to judge you whether you did the prayer or not. Why? Because to enjoy the prayer, this is not something in your control 100%. This is not something in your control 100%. This is something in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, pretty much.
Wait, then, if you can't enjoy the prayer, then doesn't like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like go away from your center of focus, and then like you don't have like khushu then because you're not thinking about Him, and then so basically your prayer doesn't count?
Perfect question. If you are not focused during the prayer, what happens? If you didn't do it intentionally, like like you're trying to focus, but you can't. Every time you try to focus, and then the shaitan puts a subject in your brain, that you keep thinking of, all right? If you do that, okay, unintentionally, like you did not intend it, all right? Then your prayer is valid. Allah forgives you. Then comes a question. When Allah wouldn't forgive you, or when Allah wouldn't accept the prayer, when you're not focused, is if you intentionally started thinking about something else. You got it? So it is not something that happened accidentally. It is something that you have intended. Like when you say Allahu Akbar, you intend to think about something else. All right? You got it? You got it? Or are you thinking about something else? All right? So now let me tell you a joke about that. Since you're ready to. Since you like jokes. There was a guy who's praying behind the imam.
What?
A guy praying behind the imam. Like an imam and a group of people are praying. After the prayer, they were praying dhuhr prayer. They were praying what? Dhuhr prayer. How many rak'ahs is dhuhr?
Four.
Four. The imam made, the imam by mistake, the imam prayed only two. Not four, he prayed only two. Then, after the prayer, this guy said, Imam, you prayed only two rak'ahs. Imam said, no, I remember we prayed four. Because that's what the imam thinks. Because the imam lost count. You know, he lost focus and lost count. So he made a mistake. So he says, no, you prayed two. He says, nah, I prayed four. Then he said, okay. The imam said, okay. Let's ask the rest of the people. Okay, how many rak'ahs did I pray? He said, the first one said four. How about you? Four. How about you? Four. How about you? Four. 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 Everybody's saying four. Apparently, everybody lost focus and then lost the count. All right? So he said, I swear by Allah, you guys prayed only two. So the imam asked him, how come you're so sure? How come? He said, because I have four stores and I do the accounting of every store in one rak'ah. So I did the accounting of the first store, I did the account of the second store, and there was no third or fourth rak'ah to do the accounting for. You got it?
Oh, wow.
Well, the funny part here is that he is intentionally what?
Thinking,
and he's intentionally, on purpose, doing the actual accounting. Like he's not focusing on the prayer with his own will. Okay. So now, if you are not enjoying the prayer, don't give up. Prayer, just let me give you an example of how prayer look like. When we pray, we knock on the door of Allah. It's like, this is the door of Allah, we knock on it. We ask Allah to open the door and come to our hearts. We're inviting Allah to come into our hearts. If Allah will come into your heart, I guarantee you, prayer would be so much fun. Okay? But here's the problem. You knock on the door inviting Allah. Allah knows your heart is not clean enough. So Allah will not get out and Allah is not going to go into your heart. Allah is going to reject the invitation. He's going to accept the prayer, but he's going to reject the invitation. Okay? Now, what do you do? Huh?
So, also, would...
You try harder.
Yes.
When you're intentionally thinking about something else, would it be sort of like knocking on the door softly?
Or no. It's just like going away from the door. When you intentionally think about something else, your prayer does not count, period. Okay? It is just like it's not a prayer at all. But if you accidentally started drifting and thinking about something else, daydreaming, Allah is very kind. Allah will accept the prayer because you didn't intend that. Allah only judges you of what you intend, not what you accidentally do. So now Allah, so you're not enjoying the prayer. Then what do? You keep knocking. Fajr. Okay, you didn't get it. Dhuhr. You didn't get it. Asr. You keep knocking on Allah's door. And keep doing it. Don't give up. There will happen a time, inshallah, where Allah will open, will respond to your invitation and go to your heart when your heart is clean enough. When your heart is what? Clean enough. Okay? So, a lot of people say we don't enjoy it. So I am. I don't enjoy it either. Why? Because my heart is not so clean that Allah will come out and Allah will come and enter my heart every time. Go ahead.
This sort of connects to the cleaning class that we
exactly, which is the tazkiyah. When you do tazkiyah, you're cleaning your heart, you're more likely to get Allah into your heart during the prayer. You see what I'm saying here? Of course, the heart of the Prophet was very clean, so in every single prayer, Allah will come into his heart, and then he will enjoy the prayer. That's one. This is how you know Allah's in your heart when you pray, is that if you enjoy the prayer. All right? Now, there was a guy who, they asked him, who has a very clean heart, and he really enjoys the prayer. So they asked him, do you think about something else during the prayer? So he said, you guys gotta be kidding me. Outside of the prayer, I can't stop thinking about Allah outside of the prayer. Then I would think about something else inside the prayer. Like he's always thinking about Allah. Allah's always in his mind and his circle of focus outside of the prayer. Then it doesn't make any sense that when he goes into the prayer, he's thinking about something else, right? So keep that in mind, you know, and don't give up knocking. Don't give up knocking on the door. Knock and clean your heart. Knock and clean your heart. Knock and clean your heart. Okay? And don't give up. You might spend all your life doing that and you did not get single prayer that you didn't enjoy. All right? That you did enjoy. This is not usual unless you really failed to clean your heart enough for Allah to come in. Now, about cleaning the heart, let me ask you a question. If your house is dirty, I mean, you didn't vacuum the carpet, you didn't do the dishes, your house is really dirty. And just think of this way. And you invite President Obama into your house.
Oh my God.
Would President Obama come to your house when it's that dirty?
Maybe.
No. President Obama will send the Secret Services. They will check your house. They'll call back the president and say, no, President, that house is not suitable for you, for your highness, or for your majesty, because it is a dirty house. Just get the meaning. Don't pick on the cosmetic words. Just pick the meanings. Now, what do you want to do if you want to invite President Obama to your home? Clean it very well.
Vacuum,
do the dishes, clean, paint. When you clean it very well, then when you invite the president to your home, the president will say yes, and the president will come. The point here is the same. This is an example, a simplified example, to explain why Allah wouldn't come to your heart. Because your heart might have envy. This is trash. Like, this is like having trash on the floor. Envy in your heart. My heart might have laziness. I'm sorry, your heart might have laziness. Your heart might have anger. Your heart might have selfishness. Your heart might have greed. Your heart might have disrespect to Allah, or disrespect to the Prophet, or disrespect to Islam. Whatever your heart, problems with your heart, that would prevent Allah from coming, because you have to clean up your heart. Now, let me tell you, this is not easy. And if I would count the number of times that I enjoyed the prayers, I can count them on my fingers, and I'm 40, 45 years old. You know? It is not easy. Trust me, it's not easy. It's difficult. So, don't, when you hear people saying that the story of the people saying that there was one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They had to cut his leg because of a disease, because of cancer. They had to cut his legs, so they wanted to give him alcohol to drink so that he doesn't feel the pain. He said, "I'm not drinking alcohol." So they wanted to hit him on the head to pass out while they're cutting the leg, because in the old days there's nothing, there's no anesthesia or anything like that, anesthesia or anything like that. So he said no. Then they said, "How do we cut your leg?" He said, "Let me start the prayer, and then after the first rak'ah, okay, cut." So he started the prayer, they started cutting, and he didn't feel it because he was enjoying the prayer so much. Now, this example is an very extreme example of somebody who's really enjoying the prayer. Okay? Don't feel bad about yourself, because that's wow. I mean, if you do that good, then you are really from the people of, you should be promised Jannah when you are walking on the face of the earth. You know, if you can really reach to that level. But here is the thing is that the influence, that he was so much focused with Allah, and he was so much enjoying the prayer that he didn't feel the pain of cutting his leg. Right? So just this story is just for your own information. Okay? But I guarantee you that neither you nor me will be able to reach that level. That's a very high level of cleaning heart. There are guys who clean their hearts like periodically. Envy, they take it out of the heart. Jealousy, they take it out of the heart. Every evil temptation in the heart, they clean it. Every day they clean it. They make sure that before they go to sleep, the heart's clean. So they remember, okay, Muhammad took my benzin. Okay, I'm angry. Oh, I forgive him for the sake of Allah. Okay, Saeed hit me. I was angry. I forgive him for the sake of Allah. Okay, I don't want to pay zakah. I'm greedy. Okay, no, I am going to do the zakah, inshallah, tomorrow. And this way you clean your hearts. You clean your heart. Then you have a very good chance when you pray that Allah will come into your prayer. Now, not able to enjoy the prayer is a kind of a warning lead to you that your heart is not clean enough. You got it? This is a problem that we all suffer from. You're not alone. You are not alone with this problem. We all have this problem. Not able to focus in the prayer, not able to enjoy the prayer. And fortunately, Allah will not judge us on this part. Allah will judge us only whether we did it or not. Whether you physically did it with your body or you didn't. Because doing it is like knocking on the door. Not doing it is like saying, "I don't want to knock on your door. I mean, I'm not interested into you." And then you walk away. That's what does it mean when you quit praying? It's just like saying to Allah, "I give up. I'm not going to knock on your door. Or I don't care about you. Or I'm not going to worry whether you come to my heart or not." And then you walk away from the door. Okay? Got it? All right. Now, let's now move to say الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّهُ. So now we understand the meaning of the word Allah. Now, let's say لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُو. This is the word of monotheism, right? This is the shahada. لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُو. Now, why لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُو is so important? Because people try to put middle gods just for the purpose of deceiving others. You got it? And take advantage of them, right? So if those are the people and this is Allah, there is a direct connection between you and Allah. This means La ilaha illahu. One direct link to Allah. Now, people who try to take advantage of you, people who try to take advantage of you, always hate that. They want to put themselves in the middle. So they want, this is Allah, this is the idol. And those are the people. So, people who want to take advantage of you.
I have a question.
Yes?
Is that the entire ayah?
No, this is just part of the ayah. Hu Allahu alladhi la ilaha illa hu. Yes, I'm just explaining it part, one piece at a time. So, here's what you do. The idol, what people want to take advantage of you, because this idol has what? Has a wicked guy behind.
How can you skip the idol part?
Just pray to Allah directly and ask Allah directly. Now, this is what it does. It's all about taking advantage of you. So this guy comes in and says, okay, here's this idol, and I am the servant of the idol. I am the servant of the idol. So, evil person claims that he or she, evil person, claim that he or she is the clergy. Clergy. Clergy is with the... Is that right spell of clergy? Is it the name? Clergy?
Yes.
Of the idol. Clergy means like I'm the one who can talk to the idol. I am the one who can communicate with the idol.
So in reality, they're practically going to the evil person, then the
exactly.
idol, then to Allah.
Perfectly. Now they are not going to Allah at all. They actually, basically, they are all going to the evil person. Practically. So, then, so this is a middle god. This is concept of middle gods. This is the concept of middle gods. And this evil person becomes God on earth. Like, you want something? You know, this person says, okay, you do this, you do that, and then you have, in the name of this idol, do this, in the name of this idol, do that. So, la ilaha illallah stops this kind of deception. This la ilaha illallah stops this kind of deception. All right. How about what's wrong with saying there's no God at all?
Huh? Because that leads you to going through the eyes of Mother Nature, and it's like evolution. God is here. How did these monkeys
We came from the generation of monkeys.
Adam's family merged together to create us.
So, that's right. But what is the harm of that? What's the harm? There has to be a harm, or, you know, or it's not a bad idea. What's the harm?
Well, basically, like, it's like, it leads you to the conclusion that, like, Mother Nature or some other unknown force created the Earth, and that might, like, lead you to, like, worshipping other... Like,
no, if I don't worship any god at all, if I say there are no gods in this existence, huh? Just tell me about a harmful thing, direct harmful thing, like something that is harmful to you and to the society.
When you think like that, everything about Islam relates to there is only one true God.
Mm-hmm.
And so everything in Islam relates to like that. So if there's not a God, then you wouldn't do Hajj. If there's not a God, then you wouldn't really be doing any good things.
Takbir, but I'm going to make it accurate, more accurate. Okay. If I'll make it more accurate, she's getting very close. If there is no God, why should I bother fighting my selfishness and greed and evil temptation? Why should I? Let's say I'm a person who is infected by the disease of selfishness. I'm very selfish. Self-centered, ego person,
ego-psychic
person, what do you call it? Yeah, if you are one of those guys, this is a selfishness, okay? And this is harming the society, right? This is harming the society. When you think very highly of yourself, you're causing problems, right? You cause problems. Now, what do you need to do? You need to fight that. You need to what? Huh? Fight that. How do you fight it? Why should I fight it? Why? I should fight it because one of the big motives is that I want to please Allah, go to Jannah, and stay away from hellfire. You got it?
Hellfire.
When there is no God, then why should I bother fighting my evil temptations? Why? Why don't I just, you know,
kill people?
Steal money? Lie, cheat. I mean, there's no Allah. Okay, so there's no motive for me to testify against myself when I do something wrong. You know, to testify against yourself, this is the highest level of honesty. When you go and testify against yourself that I did this wrong. And, you know, unless you really love Allah and very motivated by Jannah, and very afraid of hellfire, you are not going to testify against yourself. Trust me on that. And I have even less than that. I had a story where a guy...
Story?
Yes. A guy was fired from his job because he's a Muslim. Because he's a Muslim.
That's so sad.
And the one who witnessed that, his boss. His boss used to be very nice. But his manager used to be an evil guy who hates Muslims. So he fired him, and his boss was trying to defend him because he liked him so much. But the manager, because he is higher than the boss, was able to really fire the guy. Got it? Was really able to what? Fire the guy. You understand?
I understand.
Okay. Now this guy goes to court and files a lawsuit. Because it was violation for his civil rights, because he was fired as a Muslim. He has a witness, very good witness, which is his boss. His boss is supposed to come to the court and testify the truth. And say, yes, I was his boss, and the manager was mistreating him. Ex-boss.
Isn't he more powerful than the manager?
No. The manager is the boss of the boss.
What?
You know? The manager is the supervisor of your supervisor.
A boss isn't more powerful.
The supervisor of your supervisor. So now, look at this. Now, during the testimony, the boss, or the supervisor, was subpoenaed, like brought to testify. And this boss had very good manners. And he really was a nice guy. But when he testified, he lied.
What?
He lied.
Lying is not right.
Now,
what did he say?
He said he denied that this guy was fired because he's a Muslim. And he denied the events. How? Every time we tell, I mean, the lawyer tells him, do you remember this? He says, I don't remember. I don't remember. I don't remember. He keeps pretending that he doesn't remember any of these events. And he just basically failed to testify the truth. Now, the lawyer said that this guy is not testifying the truth because he's afraid of losing his job. Because if he testifies against the company, what happens? The company will get mad at him and do what? Fire him, right? So, this guy, he was put in a very difficult test. Either get fired or testify the truth. Guess what this guy did?
Testify the truth?
No.
Get fired.
I'm sorry. Either testify the truth and get fired or lie and keep his job.
Lie and keep his job.
This guy chose to lie and keep his job. Now, why is that? Because when pushes comes to shove, people think very selfishly about themselves. The guy said, you know, heck with the truth. I want to keep my job. So he did not testify the truth. So you can see here, now if they do that to someone who loves Allah, loves to go to Jannah, hates hellfire, that person will testify against him or her, will testify the truth. Even if this person loses his or her job, they will testify the truth regardless, because one of the worst, most ugly, bad deeds you can ever do is lying in court. Lying under oath. Okay? When you lie, and your lie is going to make someone lose his or her rights. You know, because in court, lying is, you know, you can lie in court and then the judge will make the wrong decision and the victim is going to suffer a lot of losses. You got it? Now, the manager himself was also, was also brought in to testify. The manager, of course, did not testify against himself. So the manager lied. So when pushes comes to shove, unless you really love Allah and you really want Jannah and you really want to stay away from hellfire, you will not testify against yourself and you will not testify the truth. Okay? So now you understand why it's very important that you love Allah. And this person, honestly, this person, the supervisor, is a very, very nice, kind guy with impressive moral values.
And a horrible heart.
But when, no, and a nice heart. But when he was tested by bringing him to testify, when he was tested, when pushes comes to shove, what did he do?
Liar.
He put aside his honesty. He put aside his moral values. And he put them into sleep. He put his conscience into sleep. You got it? But if there is a good Muslim, because Muslims that are just Muslims, like Mickey Mouse Muslims, they are not really taking Islam seriously, they will do the same thing. They will not testify against themselves and they will not testify the truth if it's going to harm them. But it takes really a guy who's taking Islam seriously, who's in love with Allah, to really make such a sacrifice. If there is no Allah, why should I donate my new clothes? If there is no Allah, why should you donate money? There is no Allah.
Yeah, for sure.
If you're stingy and you love money and you're selfish.
Money love.
Okay, and you believe that there's no God.
No.
Would you ever go against your desires and spend money? No. But if you're selfish, stingy, and greedy, and you know there's Allah, then you will push yourself to give charity. Why? Because you love Allah, you're afraid of His punishment. So you push yourself to give a charity and fight your evil desires and evil temptations. Fight them. They are not going to let them control you. You are going to control them, yes. Huh? Yes, the homework is known to summarize the class in 200 words essay. Let's make them 300.
No.
300
How
words.
How about 1,000?
What? Well, no, what?
Oh, I can
negative. Okay.
300 words is like a paragraph.
Okay. And then you memorize the entire ayah.
Can I do 300 letters instead?
Yeah, 300 words. No, 300 words.
Wait, no, we already have that to memorize.
Yes.
By the way,
for you, you did this already, so
way,
it's just one ayah.
Is your best interest to memorize the ayahs because that is part of your midterm and you don't really want to get a zero on it?
Yeah.
I don't know what it means.
Now,
midterm,
you memorize the entire ayah. This is just part of the ayah. This is just part of the what?
How long is the ayah?
Ayah. Okay?
Well,
so,
you
memorize the whole ayah. All right? And if you haven't done anything, if you missed the homework, if you missed a part, you can make it up. Like if you come next time, you had a zero, let's say you had a zero on memorization of one ayah in the past. And then you do it now. I will take away the zero and give you credit.
This is from last week. We were
300.
Also...
Oh, yeah.
From last
the 200
week.
Word essay. So you can see the best thing to do is just go home today when it's still fresh in your mind and
do it.
All right.
You're doing it for the sake of Allah, not
Yeah, exactly. If there's no Allah, why should I bother and do the homework if I'm lazy buffalo?
Okay, once you write down the homework, you're
You know, lazy buffaloes don't want to do the homework.
Yeah.
So if there's no Allah...
I'm doing it right now.